Welcome to Living the Abundant Life program. This is your host, Rachel McLean. Call 772-220-0602 for more information about men's prayer, ladies' prayer, and midweek Bible studies. Watch our live stream at AbundantLifeStuart.com on Sunday mornings at 9:30 a.m. Our mailing address is Abundant Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1349, Stuart, Florida, 34995. Join us as we go to a pre-recorded service with Pastor Jonathan McLean.
When the apostles were with Jesus, they kept asking him, Lord, are you going to free Israel now and restore our kingdom? Now, you remember in Matthew, they were asking him when he said, all these stones are going to be broken apart. All this is going to be leveled. And they said, when is this going to happen? We want to know. Well, here they are. Jesus has died. He's rose from the grave. And what are they asking him? Are you going to establish your kingdom then, Lord? When is this going to happen? And what does Jesus say in verse 7? The Father sets those dates. They're not for you to know. But when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, you will receive power and will tell people about me everywhere. In Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. It was not long after he said this that what happened? He ascended. This is the ascension. Here it is. He was taken up into the sky while they were watching. They're standing there watching. He's being taken up into the sky, and they watch him like we would watch a rocket ship. Many of you have probably watched some space launches from your front yard, maybe from the street in front of your house. I've been doing that since I was a kid. Sometimes at school, we would all get out of class for an hour or 30 minutes or whatever. Oh, we're listening to the radio. It's time for the rocket to go up, and we would see the tail of the fire and the explosion as it dropped some of its capsules and moved on through the sky, and we would stand there watching until it disappeared. And now we have television, and we have planes that are chasing and filming and watching, and we can see the rockets as they advance into the heavens. The disciples didn't have any planes to follow. They're just standing there. These are simple fishermen. They'd never seen anything like this in their whole life. They are shocked. They're watching. And they're watching until he disappears into the cloud. As they were straining their eyes to see him, two white-robed men suddenly stood there among them. The angel showed up. Where were they the whole time? You think they were in the bush? Or do you think they were right there with him? They just had not manifested yet. I believe they were right there with them the whole time. But suddenly, there they are. They're standing there among them, and they say something to the men that I want you to take note of. Men of Galilee, why are you standing here staring at the sky? Jesus, this same Jesus, the King James says. I like that. This same Jesus that has been taken away from you into heaven will someday, and someday, just as you saw him go, he's going to what? He's going to return. This is called the second coming. This is not the rapture. The rapture is when the church is caught away. This is called the second coming. Just as you saw him taken away, someday he will return. All right. Now, from the Mount of Olives, he ascended. Messiah, Yeshua, ascended into the heavens. Back to the Mount of Olives, Jesus will descend, and Zechariah is given the message hundreds of years before this took place. And here it was, we just read it, where his feet, verse 4, Zechariah 14, on that day, his feet will stand on the Mount of Olives, which faces Jerusalem on the east. Now, let's go back to chapter 9 of Zechariah. In chapter 9, we were looking at this last Sunday a little bit, and taking note of the fact that the day is going to come, verse 6, when foreigners will occupy, this is Zechariah 9, verse 6, foreigners will occupy the city of Ashdod. Thus I will destroy the pride of the Philistines. They will no longer eat meat with blood in it or feed on other forbidden foods. And all the surviving, say surviving, because I was just chatting with someone and they were saying, well, you know, it's kind of evident that some of the nations are not going to be destroyed because, you know, they show back up and that all of them do not deny or fight against God. Actually, there will be some survivors from the nations that will honor and worship God during the millennial period. There will be many that will be saved from those nations that turn. But the fact that all nations on earth are going to turn against the righteous and the Messiah is in the Word of God. We will see this. But this talks about the day when the surviving Philistines will worship our God. Whose God? Say Israel. Israel's God. Are they worshiping Israel's God this morning? No. Now, there are some that do. There are born-again Arabs. There are born-again Christians that are in the Gaza area, and some of them refuse to leave. They said, we're going to stay here as missionaries. Even if we lose our life during the war, we're going to stay here and minister to the Palestinians there in Gaza. So there are some that are there believing. But the day is going to come that the surviving Philistines, those that are left, will worship our God and be adopted as a new clan in Judah. That's coming. We mentioned that last week. Now that tells us a little bit about what's going to happen with the coming of Christ during the tribulation. How many of you heard about the tribulation? Last 3.5 years are really bad. It gets really bad on the planet. But think about that, 3.5 years, not a long period of time. God's going to bring things into order. But there will be surviving Philistines. They will worship God. They will be adopted as a new clan. And if you look down to verse 9, rejoice greatly, O people of Zion. Shout in triumph, O people of Jerusalem. Look, your king is coming to you. Now this is going to jump and look at the prophetic promise of Yeshua's first coming, while it's also going to be talking about his second coming. Sounds a little confusing to put it all together, but look at this. The prophets are seeing the Messiah is coming. I'm sure they didn't understand what we're able to understand this morning, because he had not yet come humbly riding on a donkey. But he would, he did, and all history bears it out. There's no question of that. It says, even on a donkey's colt. And when you read in the New Testament, you see that that's exactly what happened. There is the donkey and the colt that Jesus is on, never been ridden. And so it says, and this is really important. You may not write in your Bible, then write it down in your brain somewhere. And I have in my Bible, it says, coming peace, coming peace. Peace is coming, but look into the Word of God to find out how it's actually going to come. You'll be ahead of the news media, regardless of the negotiations that's going on right now. You'll know where peace is going to come from. I will remove the battle chariots from Israel and the war horses from Jerusalem, and I will destroy all the weapons used in battle. Are we there yet? Nope. Are there any weapons in battle being used today? Yep. Hasn't happened yet, but peace is coming. Your king. Who is Israel's king? Jesus. Who's your king? Jesus. Who's my king? Jesus. Our king will bring peace to the nations. Not going to have peace until he brings peace. We may have peace negotiations. We may have temporary peace. But remember what we started with this morning in 1 Thessalonians 5, that when everybody's saying, hey, we have global peace, the church needs to be awake and aware that God said that's the time when all of your peace treaties are going to fall apart, and that's the time when something else is going to happen. God's going to present himself in such a way that Israel will be convinced that Yeshua is their Messiah. Many are convinced today by the work of the Holy Spirit, because we looked at that last week. We've looked at that in Romans. That the day of the Gentiles will come to a conclusion. The time of the heart being changed for the Jews we're looking at today. And this speaks to it very clear. Goes on to say in verse 13, Judah is my bow, Israel is my arrow, Jerusalem is my sword. Look at verse 14. See if you can find, as I read this, if you can think about any other passage that speaks exactly like the prophet. Here it is. The Lord will appear. This is talking about during the tribulation, when the Lord appears, where does his feet touch down? Say the Mount of Olives, Israel. The Lord will appear. Okay, what else did it say in Matthew? That it would be like the lightning that flashes across the sky, that no one would miss his appearing. Y'all still with me? I'm showing you the Word of God confirms itself. Here it is. The Lord will appear above his people, his coming. Said his appearance will be like the lightning. Here it is. The Lord will appear above his people, above his nation. His arrows will fly like what? Lightning. The sovereign Lord will sound the trumpet. He will go out against his enemies like a whirlwind from the southern desert. The Lord Almighty will protect his people, and they will subdue their enemies with sling stones. We have an upgraded model these days. They will shout in battle as though drunk with wine, shedding the blood of their enemies. This is the great battle that concludes the tribulation period. It's coming, and peace will not come until this battle has been completed. And the scripture makes it clear, the day is going to come that Jesus will subdue all the nations, and they will all be humbled under his feet. When that day arrives, verse 16, the Lord their God will rescue his people as a shepherd rescues his sheep. They will sparkle in his land like jewels in a crown. How wonderful and beautiful they will be. The young men and the women will thrive on the abundance of new wine. All right, let's back up. Now that we see what's coming, I wanted you to see that first. And now we're going to back up. We're still in Zechariah. And I want for you to take note of some things that the Word lays out for us. We've looked in Acts chapter 1. We've looked in Matthew chapter 24. We've looked in Zechariah chapter 9. Initially, I entitled this whole study, The Restoration of Israel. But I realized, though the restoration's going to happen, this is really the redemption of Israel. It's the salvation of Israel. It's the awakening of Israel. It's the fulfillment of God's plan and his purposes for Israel. Are y'all still with me? I know this isn't a little easy message. It's going to require your brain to work a little bit this morning. But stay with me. If you want to know what's coming, the Word of God tells us what's coming. And so it's very important for us to look at this together. So, in Zechariah, if you look at chapter, why don't we go into chapter 8 for a moment? Chapter 8, Zechariah chapter 8. When you look at Israel as a nation, in the early verses, I am consumed with passion for Jerusalem. Verse 2, this is what the Lord Almighty says. My love for Mount Zion is passionate and strong. I am consumed with passion for Jerusalem. This is God. And now the Lord says, I am returning, where? To Mount Zion. Where's Mount Zion? It's Temple Mount. I'm coming home. God is saying this. The mountain of the Lord Almighty will be called the Holy Mountain. What is it going to be like during the millennial period? Well, I'm glad you asked. It's in the Word of God. We can read it. We know exactly what's coming. Here it is, verse 4. This is what the Lord Almighty says. Once again, old men and women will walk Jerusalem's street with a cane. Now, if you were in Jerusalem today, there would be a lot of people walking the streets, but you will see a lot of people walking the streets with guns. Hello? You'll see young people with guns. You'll see old people with guns. Why? Because peace has not yet come to their nation. Once again, old men and women will walk Jerusalem's streets with a cane. They will sit together in the city squares, and the streets of the city will be filled with what? Children at play. Boys and girls playing. What's coming? What's millennium going to be like? What's it going to be like in Jerusalem? What is it going to be like with God's people, those that survive? What is all that going to be like? Well, what it's going to be like is it's going to be peaceful, totally. No enemies, no danger. And the streets are going to be open. And when I was a kid, one thing we could do, we could play baseball in our street. Day came, you don't do that anymore. But we did back in the day. The day's going to come during the millennium where there will be established peace because the Prince of Peace is ruling. And he will maintain peace. Yes, we see this. Talks about the early temple. It's need to be rebuilt. Ongoing, God talks about rescuing them and being a source of blessing. There's another temple to be built for sure, and that is coming. Look at this. This is interesting. It tells us in this chapter, we're still in chapter 8, that from the days of fasting, there are going to be days of celebration. There's been periods of fasting because of the temple's destructions throughout time. So love, truth, and peace. This is in verse 19, still in chapter 8. The day is going to come. Look at verse 20. This is what the Lord Almighty says. This is what's coming. People from nations and cities around the world will travel to Jerusalem. So we know during the days of the war, the battle that's coming, all nations are hating Israel. But the Prince of Peace is going to establish his leadership and will rule, and peace will be mandated. It will be on the earth. That time, people will travel to Jerusalem. What is it going to be like? The people of one city will say to the people in another city, Let us go to Jerusalem to ask the Lord to bless us and to seek the Lord Almighty. We're planning to go ourselves. People from many nations, even powerful nations, will come to Jerusalem to seek the Lord Almighty, to ask the Lord to bless them. Now's the day when we pray that the Lord bless Israel. The day is coming when those who are still alive on the earth, they're going to be going to Israel saying, I want to be blessed by Israel. This is what the Lord Almighty says, verse 23. We're still in chapter 8. In those days, 10 people from nations and languages around the world will clutch at the hem of one Jew's robe. Can you get a picture of that? They finally found a Jew, and there's 10 of them that's been looking. Why? They will say, please let us walk with you, for we have heard that God is with you. Now, right now, we have people that don't want to be walking with any Jews because you might just get shot or mugged or something, right? Because right now, we have the spirit of the Antichrist that is ruling in the hearts of many people all over the world. So the spirit of the Antichrist is what stirs up anarchy in our nation and the nations of the earth. Spirit of Antichrist. Well, what does Antichrist mean? You know what it means. Anything that says anti, it means the opposite of. So if Jesus is the Prince of Peace, what is the Antichrist? He is the Prince of War, destruction, and killing, stealing, destroying. We know this, right? Okay, back to chapter 9. Back to chapter 9. Yes, in verse 9, we read that your king is coming. Your king will bring peace. We see that in verse 10. But I want you to take note of something. And this is how I know this is the millennial period. And we looked at this briefly earlier. I want to bring you back to it. Verse 10. I will remove the battle chariots from Israel, the war horses from Jerusalem. I will destroy all the weapons used in battle. Your king will bring peace to the nations. But look at his realm. His realm, what does that mean? Where he rules. Where's Yeshua going to rule? His realm will stretch from sea to sea and from the Euphrates River to what? The ends of the earth. So is that happening this morning on the earth yet? We don't see it visibly. It's coming. I told you, you're reading tomorrow's news. It's coming. We need to be aware of this. We need to be able to talk to people about this. We have people who are of the cults that will show up at our door sometimes. And they want to ask you a question. If you're looking for a heaven with peace, are you looking forward? Do you want to know what's going to happen? Say, let me show you what happens in God's Word, not in your literature. I don't want to see what the Jehovah Witnesses have to say about the coming kingdom. I want to know what God has to say about the coming kingdom. His realm will stretch from sea to sea, from the Euphrates River to the ends of the earth, because of the covenant I have made with you, sealed with what? Oh, what was the first covenant sealed with? Blood. Sacrificial animals. What is the second covenant sealed with? Blood. Blood. Whose blood? Yeshua's. Hebrews goes through that very carefully to explain that you have been bought with a price. You are in the kingdom of God because God loved you and gave His Son to die for you, and it is the blood of the covenant. I will free your prisoners. The other day, talking to Paul Wilbur, and Paul Wilbur was sharing this. He said, I pray this over the hostages. He's been praying this along with many other Jews. I will free your prisoners from death in a waterless dungeon. Have you seen pictures on TV of where the hostages have been? They've been underground, haven't seen light in many, many, many months. They have been there without water, many of them, without food, just enough to stay alive so they can torment them. And Paul Wilbur said, we're praying this and believing that God's going to set our prisoners free. 911, that's right. 911, that's what he brought up. Come back to the place. Because of the covenant I made with you, Paul Wilbur told me he believes this is one of the most powerful scriptures in the Word of God. It is powerful. Because of the covenant I made with you, I will free your prisoners from death. Look at verse 12. Come back to the place of safety, all you prisoners, for there is yet hope. Verse 14, we already talked about that when he comes, it's going to be global, like lightning flashing from the sky. Verse 16, when that day arrives, the Lord their God will rescue his people, just as a shepherd rescues his sheep. We looked at that. Ask the Lord for rain in the spring, he will give it. And in Israel, when the rains come, it's a sign of the blessing and the favor of God. And we too, with the outpouring of the Holy Spirit at Azusa Street and in our nation through the charismatic renewal And even in our own congregations, we have sung the song, "It's beginning to rain. Rain, rain, the Spirit of the Lord is poured out upon us." Look down in verse 4 of chapter 10. "From Judah will come the cornerstone, the tent peg, the battle bow, and all the rulers. They will be like mighty warriors in battle." Drop down to verse 8. This is what's coming. God is going to whistle. Did you know God knows how to whistle? God knows how to whistle. Do you know what happens when God whistles? He is going to whistle to get his children's attention. And the Jews who have not yet been called home are going to hear the whistler. The whistler's going to call. "When I whistle to them, they will come running, for I have done what? I've redeemed them from the few that are left." This is, again, we're kind of looking at a couple different things, but we're definitely looking at the coming season of the Messiah and the millennium. "From the few that are left, their population will grow again to its former size." Drop down to verse 12, chapter 10. "I will make my people strong in my power, and they will go wherever they wish by my authority. I, the Lord, have spoken." Well, I want you to come over to chapter 12. I love chapter 12 and 13. And we will have to go there before we leave this morning. Chapter 12. Look at verse 2. "I will make Jerusalem and Judah like an intoxicating drink to all the nearby nations that send their armies to besiege Jerusalem." Remember we were reading when everyone says peace and safety, sudden destruction comes. This is telling us what's going to happen during that tribulation period, during that time of war, that the nations, Israel, will be to them like this massive heavy stone. Look at verse 3. "On that day I will make Jerusalem a heavy stone, a burden for the world. None of the nations who try to lift it will escape." Look at verse 4. "On that day," what the day of the Lord, "I will cause every horse to panic, every rider to lose his nerve. I will watch over the people of Judah." This is talking about the battle and what's going to come. Look at verse 6. "I will make the clans of Judah like a brazier that sets a woodpile ablaze, or like a burning torch among sheaves of grain. They will burn up all the neighboring nations." Some read this and say, this sure looks like nuclear warfare. I can't answer how God will do all of this. I'll just tell you that's what it's going to look like. That's what the prophet wrote down. When all the nations rise up against Israel, and Israel is fighting, and then, of course, Israel's God shows up to fight on their behalf. "The Lord will give victory to the rest of Judah first." Drop to verse 8. "On that day, the Lord will defend the people of Jerusalem." The Lord will defend them. Remember, He's coming like lightning. He's going to come to defend them. They're in war. "The weakest among them will be as mighty as King David." King David was looked upon to be the strongest leader they ever had. But then look at verse 10. "Then I will pour out a spirit of grace." This is awesome. It's coming. Not only is coming that Israel will be a burden for all of the world, but it's coming that a spirit of grace, God says, "I will pour a spirit of grace and prayer on the family of David, on all the people of Jerusalem, and they will look on me, whom they have pierced, and mourn for him as for an only son." Can you get a picture of what's coming? Israel's under attack. All the nations have come against them. I don't know where the U.S. is at that time. Some question whether our nation will even still be in existence. I have seen, you've lived to see how quickly our nation falls apart when we have leadership that is not godly. I want you to think about what condition America would be in after 1 month with the church gone. The rapture takes place ahead of all this. The church is out of here. There is no righteousness to bring restriction to the power of darkness. And the power of darkness is now released. It's loosed upon the nations. I'm not going to be here. I believe the church will be in the presence of God. But during this dark time, Israel is surrounded by the evil that is released because the church is caught away. And evil is released upon all the nations. But this is where the Messiah shows up as the lightning to Israel. His feet come and touch on the mount. And here he is the people are going to see him. They're going to recognize as he's bringing deliverance. They're going to see him as their Messiah. And you know what's going to happen? There's going to be a great time of repentance. in Israel and around the world. They'll grieve. They'll cry. It's very clear how it's going to happen. They're crying as they would for their firstborn son, as many have mourned over their sons that have been put to death and held as hostages. We see that. The sorrow and mourning in Jerusalem on that day will be like the grievous mourning of Hadad-Ramon in the valley of Megiddo. All Israel will weep in profound sorrow, each family by itself, with the husbands and wives in separate groups. The men are going to be so broken. It's not going to be a time when men are afraid to cry. Men are going to realize we have not understood that Jesus, Yeshua, was our Messiah until now. Then they'll get it. They'll be convicted. Their hearts will be changed. We see this, don't we? Because look at chapter 13. I just can't read all this. There's not time. In chapter 13, there's coming an open fountain for the dynasty of David. On that day, a fountain will be opened for the dynasty of David and for the people of Jerusalem, a fountain to cleanse them from all their sins and defilement. This is a great day of awakening that's coming. The messianic believers that are in this church and across the nations of the world, we're all part of the church age, but this is the redemption age for the nation of Israel as a whole. It's coming. Wish there was more time. Chapter goes on. And just before the end of that chapter, chapter 13, two-thirds of the people, verse 8, two-thirds of the people in the land will be cut off and die. This is during that battle. It's going to be a horrific battle. I'll bring that group through the fire and make them pure, just as gold, silver are refined, purified by fire. We just read about them. They are those who have repented and turned to the Lord. They will call on my name and I will answer. I will answer them. I will say, these are my people. And they will say, the Lord is our God. That's coming. Chapter 14, watch for the day of the Lord is coming. Again, it's talking about the battle, I believe, during the tribulation period of time that's coming. I will gather all the nations to fight against Jerusalem. Well, I think we read that somewhere else, didn't we? Here it is in chapter 14. On that day, verse 2, I will gather all the nations to fight against Jerusalem. The city will be taken, the houses plundered, the women raped, half the population will be taken. What is this telling us? This is telling us the condition of the land before the Messiah shows up in the sky. So this is what's going on. The intensity of the battle is unbelievable. And what does it say? Two-thirds of the people there will die. But, verse 3, then the Lord will go out to fight against those nations as He has fought in times past. We started there, didn't we? Taking you back, I took you around the loop to show you what is coming, and the Mount of Olives will split apart. Drop down to verse 11. And Jerusalem will be filled, safe at last, never again to be cursed and destroyed. Say never. This is one of those nevers. God says this is coming. Jerusalem will never again be cursed or destroyed. And look at verse 12 and following. This is a horrific scene. I don't know if you can get a hold of it. And the Lord will send a plague on all the nations. Which nations? All the nations that rose up against Israel. All the nations that fought against Jerusalem. Their people will become like walking corpse. Their flesh rotting away. This is a plague that's coming. It will be a global plague. We know something about that, don't we? We've had some introduction to how evil and wicked the global plagues are, right? That man have created. This is the result of men who have fought against Israel. A global plague. God is in charge of this plague that's coming. Their eyes, this is part of the warfare. Their eyes will shrivel in their sockets. Their tongues will decay in their mouths. On that day, they will be terrified, stricken by the Lord with great panic. They will fight it with each other, hand-to-hand combat. Judah too will be fighting at Jerusalem. The wealth of all the neighboring nations will be captured. Great quantities of gold and silver. What is this talking about? This is talking about in the heat of the battle when two-thirds have lost their life, when like the lightning of the sky, Yeshua, Jesus, comes back. This same plague will strike the horses and mules, camels, donkeys, and all the other animals in the enemy's camp. In the end, the enemies of Jerusalem who survived the plague, here you see who's going up to Jerusalem. It's the nations that survive, the people who survive from the nations. Those who survived the plague will go up to Jerusalem each year to worship the King, the Lord Almighty, and to celebrate the Festival of Shelters. Jesus is coming.
If you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you can do so today. Please pray this simple prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I believe that you are Christ, the Son of the living God, that you died for my sins. I am a sinner. I need a Savior. Lord Jesus, come into my heart and be Lord of my life today. I ask this all in Jesus' name, and fill me with your wonderful Holy Spirit.